In the Word, there's a Trinity that always must be connected. If you have failed in your prayer life, if you have failed in what you've been believing for, tonight it come to an end. There's a very clear secret in spiritual things that I don't think the church have quite understood. It's a Trinity. It's found, I'm not teaching from the text, but I have to introduce this type of maturity to you. By the way I'm teaching, you're going to have to be able to follow me. And so the Trinity is found in Romans 4:16. Faith, grace, and the promise. See, sometimes people try to operate by faith. But you can't operate. You got to have faith and grace. All right? Faith activates the grace that already has been provided for you. All right? So you have faith, grace, and the promise. Now, there's over 8,000 promises in the scripture. Listen to me. When we says it's already yours, according to Ephesians 1:3. Flip that too. I want you to get there before I even start teaching you about this purpose tonight. Ephesians 1:3, Romans 4:16. I want you to be able to dance with those scriptures. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the question is, if he has blessed us, why don't have it? All right, I just told you, faith, grace, and promise. See, the thing that God have done for you is hidden in 8,000 promises in the Bible. You have to find those promises. This is not what I'm teaching now, I'm just getting you ready. You got to find these promises, and you're going to have to operate in Romans 4:20 and 21. Look at that. It's just a pre-teaching. Wherever he says, I'm strong, Abraham was strong in faith, not weak in faith, but strong in faith, giving glory to God. Which verse that was? 20? Huh? He staggered not at the promise of God. Oh, my goodness, I see another one. He staggered not at what? He staggered not at the promise of God. He was looking into the promise God had made that he couldn't go back on. Yes, sir. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look at the next verse now. I haven't started teaching yet. And being fully persuaded. Yes. Now look what he's persuaded in. That he had promised, he was able also to perform. So what I'm saying to you, we come to a grace space. We come to a faith space. We taught a lot of faith. We taught a lot of grace. But we have not taught the faith, grace, and the promise together. See, the promise is where it's already been provided for you. See, it takes faith, it takes grace, and it takes the promise. Now, just tell me, had you been using all three? No, don't just sit here and like I'm not don't know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to bring you to a further maturity. That's why some of the things you have believed for, you didn't get those things because you was not looking into the promise of God for it. You were looking to God. See, he's already done that for you. When Christ died on the cross, he paid for everything. So this whole book belonged to you. But it works by faith, grace, and the promise. So you have to find a promise when you want to believe God for something. And you have to meditate that promise until you become fully persuaded that the Father has already done this for you. Then you go back and pick your faith up. I'll tell you two more things. Because I have to really bring you to an apostolic setting. You have to understand these two things about God. The Holy Ghost said he is. Hebrews 11:6. The Holy Ghost said he is. All right? First, before he's a rewarder, he is. And then God said himself, I am. Now you get those two titles. He is, I am. God said, I am. So with the three, Trinity, the faith, the grace, and the promise, he is, and I am, is over. You didn't get it. Didn't get it. See, I'm trying to change your will. I'm trying to get you where you can, when you're praying or when you're reading the scripture or when you believe in God for something, to know you already have it. See, it's not easy to believe, see? But you do. It's already paid for, but it's hidden in the promise. So when you find the promise and meditate the promise long enough, then your faith and grace can take it out of the promise, and you'll never leave without what you went for. Here's another lesson I have to teach tonight. I have to do this. We've been trained, and I've said this to you, but I got to emphasize tonight, to feed on or shout on the wrong end of the scripture. Let's look at our text. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28. All things work together for good for them that love God. Don't shout yet. Romans 8. See, you have to understand it. You're going to have to know how to rightly receive from the word, because this system have, actually this church don't have no power. We're not going to come into our full power until we know how to do this thing. Listen to me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Don't shout there. That's not shouting ground. See? To them who are the called, you have to understand that. And you have to understand according to his purpose. If you don't understand that, don't say shouting. Because nothing going to work together for good for you. Now here's what I want to talk to you about. The power of living a God, the power of living a God purpose filled life. The power of living a God purpose filled life. Now, in order to do that, you have to know how to ride the waves of your infirmities. Your infirmities are more important to you than you think they are. Your infirmities will annihilate your self-confidence. And a lot of times your self-confidence get in your way because you got nine scriptures on it. So you won't never look at your infirmities and come to the place that Jehoshaphat came in 2 Chronicles 20, I think it was. He came to the ideal after praying and fasting and doing it, reading scripture and everything else. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I got my eyes on you. Until you get your eyes on him, it's not going to work. Self-confidence is going to rob you. Your pat scripture is going to rob you. But you have to know your infirmities. You have to know that in the natural, in the intellect, in the sensical aspect, I can't go there. And it's still, and they're trying to usher you in, talking about, I know what to do. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Your intellect don't know what to do. Your senses don't know what to do. But they always got an idea. So if you're not going to be able to walk in the purpose of God, if you don't recognize that the first thing you have to turn in is your infirmities. When you turn in your infirmities, grace says, now you're ready. So grace can take over. Grace can't take over while you think you got it going on. That's right. You notice how I said it? While you think you got it going on. After grace take over and faith take over, you know you got it going on. So if you read in Romans 8:26, that's the voice we're preparing us for this. Romans 8:26. We're gonna live in the God ordained purpose, or live a God purpose filled life. We're going to have to know that we can't be helped unless we know We have some infirms, inadequacies, incapabilities. So when we can, you remember Jesus said, deny yourself? That ain't easy to do. Huh? No, you sitting out there, you ain't going to deny yourself on your own. And if I come out there and rub you wrong right now, you'll have trouble. You're not going to deny yourself. Your flesh going to rise up. You're going to have to learn how to deal with this. All right? All right, go to Galatians 2:20. I'm just going to deal with it. If you're going to function in the I am, your I am has to be crucified. You can't bring your, to walk in the purpose of God, you can't bring yourself. You can't bring your own identity. So here's what you got to die. You got to die. I am crucified with Christ. Now you're ready to contact the I am. The I amness of Christ can't work in your life till you get rid of your I am. So we're dealing with two I ams here. We're dealing with him, the I am, and dealing with you, the I am. But see, you need to get rid of yours. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. See, there we go. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it in the flesh. I live what? By the faith, what? Who, what? Here's when you don't know that your I am got to die. And you don't know that you have to turn your infirmities in. You don't know you have to work by faith, grace, and the promise. Are you listening to me? And then also you have to know that don't shout on the end of the scripture. Fulfill what he told you to fulfill. He take care of the end of the scripture. We've been trying to take care of the end. We've been trying to take care of the finished product. We've been trying to take care of the answer. No, we got to take care of our instruction. The answer will take care of itself because the answer already has been answered. As soon as we disappear, the answer will show up. But as long as you're there pulling and pushing and jumping and hitting, the answer is not going to show up because it's going to be a self-effort. Now look at the first part of the next verse, the 21st verse there. You see what that first part said? Huh? What it said? Now, with scriptures, you can frustrate God. If you don't do it right. The church at large is in trouble because she's frustrating God with the word of God. Because she's not getting her instruction. She's trying to give God instruction with his instruction. You see the problem? Huh? You know, we're commanding God and have not given him the opportunity to command us yet. Because Lord have mercy. We are taking the scripture and whooping God. Challenging him. Yet we need to back up and find out what he told us to do. And sometime he tell you to shut up, be still, and know I'm God. You need not to fight in this battle. It's not your battle. Shut up. The battle is the Lord. But we think we got to fight every battle, so we got our mouths open quoting scripture. He told us, shut up, be still, be silent, be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger. That's what God's word says. But we get a lot of scriptures, we get in trouble. So now, if we're going to walk in God's purpose, we're going to have to turn our infirmities in. We're going to have to know in the 27th verse, Romans 8, 26, 27th verse, we're going to have to know the will of God to walk in God's purpose. And the things I preluded this lesson with was the most powerful thing. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I started to bring that big bell, Rick, I got a big bell and rung that bell today for maturity class. But I want you to remember now, y'all can take this as I'm just pastor just teaching us now. No, I'm not just teaching y'all. I'm reaching you. Because I want you to know that you're going to have to know how the Bible works before you can work the Bible. All right? So I'm teaching some things beyond my 43 years now. All right? Of everyday study in the Word. All right? And I've got a lot of answers from God. But yet, I want to train you. Well, all right, Lord, I'll do it. We'll come back to our text. Go back to Ephesians 4. I think it's the 12th verse. The 11th verse talked about the ministry gift. The 12th verse says, for the perfecting of the saint. Right? We're going to be there. We're going to be there many times. I told you this chronological, perfecting for the saint, the perfecting of the saint for the work of the ministry. I told you we've gone into the work of the ministry without being matured, without being complete, without even having our little business straight. We're going to pray for everybody else. What about your business? Follow me as I lose. Nobody won't follow no loser. So you have to learn. Oh, man, I felt the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to learn how to work this word. And this is apostolic. This is plowing the field up crossways. So they'll make a lot of pastors who don't want to train and ministers who don't want to train. They're going to upset them again. They're going to be upset again. It was already upset when I came 20 years ago with money coming, that the church ain't got nothing to being broke. They ain't got to eating that biscuit. But now we are suffering unnecessarily. We are failing unnecessarily. We're behind unnecessarily. You are a citizen of the kingdom. You are a child of God. You have an inheritance. You have divine right, but it comes with instruction. Are you hearing me? We've been emotionalized, but our wills haven't changed. The word's supposed to change your will. And when your will is changed, then you can walk with God. See? So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, that's wrap it up. That's the wrap right there. That's the wrap there. Those three have to come together. If they don't come together, we cannot accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And the first one is get the church matured. Get her complete. Get her walking in perfection. Getting her knowing how. That's why I saw that flaming sword sitting over my bed. Get the church to know how accurately to use the sword of the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit is not dull. All this cutting you've been doing with the word, they should have cut that thing out for you. How many know, understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'll get you mad enough to fight. Listen. If you grow in the Spirit along with what the Lord is teaching you, your problems are going to be solved before they arrive where you at. And you'll be able to go do ministry. We can't do ministry now because we got so many problems ourselves. We're fighting all the time. We're just trying to stay on top of the water. But there's a place in the Spirit, in the Word. All right, go back. To Ephesians 1. The power of living a God purpose-filled life. Now I'm giving you a secret here. The secret here is learning through the word your God-ordained purpose. I'll share scripture with you about your God-ordained purpose in a little while. Is learning through the word your God-ordained purpose and permitting, are you listening? Yes, the Holy Spirit to constantly lead you into fulfilling that purpose. Let me get that again. That'll cost you $694.45. The secret here is learning through the word your God-ordained purpose. Now, the word purpose means am intention. What God am is. What God intention. What God expect out of me. How God want to use me. Your God-ordained purpose and permitting the Holy Spirit to constantly lead you into fulfilling that purpose. All right? Now, God is a God of purpose. He's not, don't know what he got, want to accomplish. He knows it. Now, Ephesians is a past tense book. Most of the things in Ephesians, you already have it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 9. I'm going to put a lot of scripture on you in a few minutes. Verse 9. And you know, in that third verse, where we already got everything. But the ninth verse said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You see that? The mystery of his will. We need God to reveal to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Underline that word purpose. Purpose in himself. So there's a divine purpose in God that he wants to transplant in you. That's the only way all things can work out together for good for you. Because they're going to have to be according to his purpose. Are you following me? My goodness. Let me do something else here. Let me do something else here. Before I go any further, because I'm going to leave some of y'all going to get left. And so I got to go back over here and do this to make sure you don't get left. My man text, I'm trying to get off on. Proverbs 19:21. Go there. And I'm coming back to Ephesians because I got to get this clear. I got to get Romans 8:28 clear and this Proverbs 19:21 clear. These two had to be clear. I want it in the NIV Bible. Is it the NIV? It's the NIV, yeah. Because we got to saturate this. This have to sink into our being. Yes, sir. For us to understand, church will not be like it used to be. Yes, life will not be like it used to be. My walk with God will not be like it used to be. You follow me? So get ready for it. Get ready for change. Yes, sir. Many plans, P-L-A-N-S. Now that word plan kind of jog with purpose. Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. I read it. I want it out the NIV. Many are the plans of the person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. You see that? It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So the Lord's purpose, you don't have it automatically. The Lord has to reveal it to you. So, if you believe in God for something for a long time and it never arrived, is it possible that it's not connected properly to God's purpose? I have to show you how to do that. See, a lot of things you're believing for right now. You're watching me by internet, watching by Leroy Tom TV. A lot of things you're believing for now, all over the world. People in Nigeria, Africa, they're watching. Russia, we found out another country was watching. Somebody contacted the office. You're not going to prevail without God's purpose in place. What is God aim here? Even when you attack, attack's got to aim. See, you have to remember, the eyes of the Lord run through, two up and down the earth, to try to find somebody's heart who's perfect toward him, that he may show himself strong on their behalf. So sometimes when you attack, God just won't show himself strong. God just wants you to mess with the wrong child now. You see? So you got to get rid of the crybaby mentality and recognize that God, no matter what you're going through, God's still there. And he can handle it. And you heard what I said? And he can handle it. Say it. Now, you don't have to run no category there. No bracket. You don't have to consult nobody. And he can handle it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to call nobody. You don't have to call the mayor, the judge, or nobody else. You ain't got to call the Supreme Court, nobody. And he can handle it. Did you get that? No, did you get that? I'm going to hang right here. Did you get that? And he can handle it. Say it again. If I connect to his purpose in this thing, it's over. Sometime he's trying to change my direction. So I'm fighting the issue, but it's not the issue, it's me. Whoa. I don't want you to have that now. Because I see further up the road, it's going to mess you up. But yet all the promises of God. Maybe you have stepped out his purpose and his promise. Trying to press. You can't press out his purpose and his promise without him. So sometimes it's good to cry, God, what is thy will? I messed with this thing long enough, Lord. I don't know what to do with it. Let thy will be done. Then he'll show you what to do. Are you following me? So with those two scriptures, two powerful scriptures, but they're not going to work. Romans 8:28, not going to work unless you qualify. This is the scripture in Proverbs. If you don't turn your plans in and ask God, we'll get back to Ephesians. Turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Give it to me in the NIV Bible. Give it to me in the NIV Bible. Just see, we got to turn from your plan. Anybody hearing me here?
Yes,
we're trying to get somewhere, you know. Yes. Huh? We're trying to get out of all these ruts we've been in. We've been good people stuck in ruts, can't get where they're going. Love God. They're going to serve God anyway, no matter how it come out. They're going to serve him. They're not going to turn their back on God, but we need to have some results.
Yes.
Here's what God said. Here's my plan. For I know the plans I have for you. I know what purpose I got for you. Declared the Lord. My plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. That's God's plan. So when I find that plan, that's what I get. Sometimes we're praying for victory when we should be praying for the plan. There are divine strategies of the Holy Ghost waiting on somebody to ask for it. When you're dealing with something, you need to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying about it before you rack your brain trying to make it work for you. Be still and listen to the Holy Ghost and be not afraid. Walk by faith. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll finally get it read. There's a plan that God has for you that cannot fail.
Yes,
what? Write that down. There's a plan that God... I want you to write it by your biggest problem. I want you to write it by your greatest challenge. The devil should have never let you get in this house tonight. I want you to write it by what you've been dealing with for some time, that you're going to find out what God's plan is. Once you find out his plan is, we consult too many people. And we try to take too many patterns. Somebody worked out for somebody like this. No, you need a fresh word. You need a rhema word. You need a tailor-made word for this situation that come from God to you. Stop playing copycat. Stop getting your ass off somebody else's paper, peeping around and cheating in the class. What she did. Ask God what he wants you to do. How many can understand that language? How many of y'all getting help? Oh, I want to keep emphasizing this to the church. Apostolic, I told you we're over 88 churches. A whole new spectrum of how to walk with God is coming forth now. Apostolically. See, they shut the apostle out, but the apostle back. And the apostle is supposed to be a master builder. He wears a master billing grace that'll show you how to socket in thing that you've been missing out on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, go back to Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both what are in heaven and what are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according, watch it. See, I caught you sleeping. See, I'm quit this routine stuff. Pay attention. You should have caught this verse. Come on, go, verse 10. What I'm teaching on purpose, right? All right, look for purpose then. Then the disposition of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one thing in Christ, both what you're in heaven and what you're on earth, even in him, in verse 11, in whom we have obtained what?
Inheritance.
Being what?
Inheritance.
Going to underline purpose. Purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I want you to see will and purpose in a Holy Ghost dance. They work together. They run together. Will and purpose. See? Lord, what's your will? Lord, what's your purpose? You cannot walk in God's purpose without his will. And you can't walk in God's will without his purpose. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. See how far I need to go here. Verse 13. In whom you also trust after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believe, you will seal with that Holy Spirit of promise. I shouted in my prayer, personal prayer. I read that. Say that the Holy Ghost, wait a minute, I wrote that down so I have to tell you. That the Holy Ghost is a guaranteed seal. Yeah, he's a guarantee. I read it in one translation now. I can't pick it up now. Maybe the Holy Ghost won't pick it up now, but anyway. Verse 13 and verse 14, which is the honors of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession until the praise of his glory. Now, in reading that, read Jeremiah 29:11, Proverbs 19:21, Romans 8:28. Let's look at this verse now in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:10. to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So that's God's manifold wisdom. You know what that means when you say the manifold wisdom of God? Do you have any idea what that means? Huh? That's wisdom at its max. And he want to function through you in his manifold wisdom to show angels and devils that you are an instrument of his righteousness. And that he had put his creative, miracle-working, wonder-working power in a human being. What you need a hammer for, you're never going to nail a nail. So in this life, you're going to have some challenges. But you're supposed to win. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Through faith, we receive the promises of the Spirit. My goodness. My goodness. All right. In order to walk in the purpose of the living God and be filled with the purpose-filled life, you have to know this. You ready? We are his workmanship. Turn to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. I want to read that out of the Amplified Bible. We are his workmanship. You ready for this? All right. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path, plural, which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Look what he said next. What? I look at you, you don't have a smile on your face. You're the saddest person I've ever seen in my life. You what God's saying, yeah, you said, where tonight, Bible study. Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That's God's purpose. You don't get excited over that. When I say excited, I don't mean you don't got to get all emotions. If you don't understand that God is saying something to you about what you're dealing with, it's already prearranged for you to win. It's already prearranged for you to take them 16 demons out. It's just easy to take 16,000 out. Now, I'm his workmanship. Say it. So all of that voice belonged to me, right? Okay. I'm his workmanship. So I have to flow in his purpose because I want all things to work together for my good, right? Are you still here?
Yes.
You still here with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, notice Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I want to go back to it. I've said to the church, In the last few moments, the scope of salvation has escaped the body of Christ. And they don't really realize that salvation includes everything that God promised. But then on the other hand, notice what this verse says. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Always what?
Obeyed.
Not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. See, you've not matured unless you can obey in absence. I don't need nobody watching me to obey. But now much more in my absence. Now look what he said here. Work out. Oh no, God. No. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own deliverance. Work out your own victory. Work out your own prosperity. Work out your own blessing. I already have given it to you. Work it out. I say, well, I don't understand that, Reverend. God got to work this out. No. God is not going to redo what he already had done. He's saying faith, grace, and promise. You got it. Faith, grace, and promise. That's what he's saying. Listen, listen. Work out your own salvation. Now notice how he wants you to work it. See, that's preaching secret right there. The Apostle Paul had it in 1 Corinthians 2. You remember what Apostle Paul said? See, come on, go to 1 Corinthians 2. See, because you want, how many of y'all want to see some demonstration in your life of the power and of the Spirit? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. See, that weakness and trembling is cousin to infirmity. You got to lose self-confidence. I've read all kind of self-help books. I read a bunch of them. I know psychology. I know psychology more than psychologists. No science. I've studied science. But when you get down in the spirit world, none of that works. Matter of fact, it's stuff they stole from the Bible and broke it down in their language, but it's not as strong as the Bible. See? Because when I say I'm okay, you okay, it's stronger than the psychological book of I'm okay, you okay. I'm saying I'm in Christ, you in Christ. And both of us have the right to supernatural advice, a supernatural instruction. That's on another level than thinking positive. I don't think you should think negative. I think you should think positive. But I don't think you should drink positive and think that's the last bottle of wine. I'm not planning on letting you victimize me. And I'm not planning on letting you make me feel inferior when I look at you. I'll look you straight in the eye. But that ain't squat doodle if I don't know Jesus. What did I tell you, son? We still at Philippians? 2, yeah. I want to show you. The Apostle Paul said in that second verse, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know where he had that? He had faith, grace, and the promise. Okay? But then he talked about he trembling and didn't come with any time, but then he said, I come with you in fear and trembling. You see that part? What verse that is? I was with you in weakness and in fear. That's the same thing he said over there, didn't it? And in much trembling. Watch what happened next. Go ahead. Now, don't just think about Paul preaching. Think about your life. Thank you, because he turned his infirmities in. God was able to give him what he had. So when he had, but in demonstrating of the spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You ain't getting this. Look at that girl. You get it? See? Change your will. It works when you know what you're doing. Huh? I'm going to throw a statement out there. Did you catch it? There's no reason you should have been turned down that many times. There's no reason you should have had to accept a substitute that many times and didn't get what you went for. When the enemy come in with sickness and disease, you can't get ready. You got to be ready. You understand what I'm saying? I want to mature you that you'll know exactly what to do when the enemy knock on your door. You have to know for yourself. Thousands can pray for you, but you have to know for yourself. And you have to know what to do. You can't use this word like a slingshot. Let me see if I won't even want to go to this verse here. I don't know if you're getting this. I told y'all don't be waiting for nothing else because the Lord is dealing with it. You're not going to be able to do the greater works if you don't know you are his workmanship. So some degree the greater works has not been functioning because we've got to back and grow up. That we can handle the minor works. You know what the minor works are? The minor works. You never thought about that, right? Greater works. We talk about the great. We're going to do the greater work. What about the minor works? Things that come in your personal life. You're going to have to learn how to handle those things. Then you'll be able to stretch out and help a lot of people in the greater work. You gonna cry because you done wash your car and somebody come along and splash some butter on your car. Now you ready to murder somebody. You gonna fight. I wash on that car hard. That's minor, baby. Go, you got some money, go get the car washed. Just shut up. Man messed up $10,000 worth of wood for me a few weeks ago. Just put a dock stand on that wood. That wood cost $10,000 in the ceiling. From the thing I built. They come sand it down. I'm still not satisfied. My wife not satisfied. So I'm thinking about pulling it all down. I said, no. I said, I fired him. He wasn't going to get nothing. I fired him. I think it was $4,000-something he's supposed to get. But his man messed my wood up. Then I thought, think about it. I'm praying. I said, call him back. We're going to work something out. I'm going to let him make some money. We're going to do something with this wood. But I fired him. Leroy had fired him. You messed up $10,000 wood. What you do? I didn't say $10. But mercy and grace said, let him work it out. We're going to work it out. So he come back. He said, when I come meet you, Mr. Tom, 9 o'clock in the morning. I got to fly out. I ain't got time for this stuff. But you got to know how to work with things, you know. You can't let it get ahead of you. Oh! Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. We're in the book of Ephesians. Not only do you have to know that we are his workmanship in order to live the power of living a God purpose-filled life, you have to know this, that you are part of the most powerful family on earth. You are a part of the most powerful family that exists. Rockefellers don't stand up. No, not to the family you in. Why y'all mess around with this? This is a powerful family because he says two of us agree. Not the whole family, just two. He said a threefold cord, just three of us. We're so powerful. One man can argue for a whole city. Then God, we're so powerful. God says, should I do this and not consult with my servant Abraham before I go do it? See yourself. God will, you live in a city? God will check with you first before he do it. You have to know him like that. We're in a powerful family. I said we're in a powerful family. A family that no man has never whipped. Ask Goliath. Ask Pharaoh. Sam God. You in the family? Watch this, Ephesians 2. I got a close. Watch Ephesians 2 here. Watch Ephesians 2. Watch this. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my, I want to shout. Oh my. Oh my, I'm in a powerful family. Oh my, my, my. I'm in the family of God, man. Oh my, my, my. All my sisters, all my brothers got an anointing that can destroy yokes. All of us have a right to use the name of Jesus. Blood family. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And you don't want us to testify. Oh, glory. Glory. Want us to testify about how great our God is. Everybody tremble. Because they know he is. One of our family members start testifying how God brought them out last week. How they had no way out, but God brought them out. Blood start moving. Grace start moving. Faith start moving. Mercy start moving. God goodness start moving. You don't want to start nothing up in here. But I'll testify God goodness, God mercy, God grace, God victory, God majesty, God glory start moving when I testify. It's best to let me stay quiet. You don't want me to tell you how good God been to me. You don't want me to tell you what God has brought me through and nobody know about it. You don't want me to talk up in here. You don't want me to tell you how far God has brought me when I should have been dead in my grave. But grace kept me to this hour. Anybody can talk? Anybody can testify? You don't know when I was by myself late at night and the hellhound was on my trail. I'm talking about you. I'm going through something, but God, I'm here. You here? Now, I want you to write this down. I will never limit God another day in my life.
I will never limit God.
Put that down. I will never limit God. I want you to go back and read that when you think you can't make it. I want you to go back and read that statement. I will never limit God another day in my life. He's been too good to me. If it could be told here of how many deliverances in this room right now. I don't have to go on the internet with 1,000. Right up in here. They've been told here what God have done for so many people up in here. We'll be here all night testifying. God took care of your child. Took care of your grandchild. When it looked like all the light was going out, God stepped in and flipped a switch anyway. I think I want to testify up in here tonight. How good God been to me. Anybody else got a testimony? Anybody else got something to say? We ought to go back to the old testifying meeting. Old sister walked to Florence, go to store in her arm and say, last night God talked to me. Early this morning, God woke me up. How many of y'all know about the meeting? Shoot, man. Let me ask a question here, since the Holy Ghost here. Who has God help up in here? Question. Then I'm going to close. Question. We'll finish next week. Question. Look at it. Look at me. You remember you said read all about it? Yes. Question. This question, somebody going to get delivered on this question. All right? You're going to have to answer when I ask it. Will he do it? I got a word for you, want it? Huh? You remember we asked, will he do again? Huh? You know what I heard? He's doing it right now. Your name is written on it. Y'all ain't shouting enough for that. That come out of my spirit, man. That come out of my spirit. God can stop the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury. God can overrule anybody. Nobody in this world is smarter than God. If God got you, you got him. If God got his hand on you, you can't be stopped. Oh, I better. What? Do you have any idea who we're talking about? El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh. You don't belong to no 4-H club up in here. You don't belong to no sorority up in here. You're in the family of God. The Almighty God is on your side. And you can have a miracle any moment. A supernatural thing can happen right here, right now, because God is still alive, well, strong, and powerful. I I wish my old pastor was here. He'd be shouting right now. You start talking about God, his birth to dad, he'll start shouting all over the place. He shout from one end of the pulpit to the other way. You just mention God, he starts shouting. You ought to shout tonight because God's been good to you. Shout right now. You ought to shout. Shout. Shout it out. You ought to give him praise. Shout right now. You ought to shout. God's been good. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. It don't make no difference Wednesday night. We can't put God on a hold till Sunday. Shout now, because pray them now. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we got to overlap some Sunday, you know that? Don't let the devil steal this time from you. Shout! God is going to do something. Don't let him steal it. Don't let him have it. Don't let him make you stay still. Move your body. Move your mind. Shout your voice. He always trying to steal a shout from you. He always trying to stop you from praising God. He don't want you to praise God. He wants you to wait later. We're not waiting later. We're going to praise him right now. I ain't waiting later. Praise him right now. Hey, sing something, sing something, sing something. Hey! Oh, Coronavasha! Oh, Coronavasha! I feel the glory! I say, I feel the glory! Oh, Rabasataya!
Give him a mic. He's a good God, hallelujah!